A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to episode 317 of See You Next Wednesday, a podcast about film and pop culture. And this episode is dropping on Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. And my name is Dan Gorman. I am a new tie wearing.
My name is Casey Lyons. And Tim, I can't gamble on hopefully, because in 10 years, my kid's going to be 9. And if he's anything like me, he's going to need braces. For his legs, because his dick's so big.
My name is Greg LeGros, and I know that for a guy who says he's not a cat, you sure do love milk.
We have lots of stuff to talk about this week. We have Film Roulette, where we will be talking about Show Dogs plus two winning choice films.
We'll be talking about three winning films.
Yeah. We'll be talking about the Duran Duran tribute album I made you listen to. We'll talk about what we're going to roll for next week and more. And before that, we'll talk about new movies and things that we are excited about. But you can find us online at modernsuperior.com. You can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at SYNWPC, which is also the name of our Facebook page. So if you type that into Facebook, we're there too.
Yep.
Done.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Doing very little.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Sweet, what up?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi, fellas.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Nothing.
It's hot as hell today.
It is so hot in this stupid ass city.
Yeah.
I feel like this room doesn't get as much air conditioning as the rest of them.
Where Casey's
there's always
wonderful.
I don't know what that shit is.
Yeah, it's this one.
For me, it's my bedroom, which is great.
Oh, that's fun.
Really nice.
Oh, that's where you want
really
no
very,
air
very
conditioning.
Very nice and good.
Really, very nice and good.
Yeah.
Hey. Is Oscar Isaac Batman?
Oh. Is that what's going
I'm
on?
I'm just jumping into things.
Well, apparently.
I have not slept. I am prepare for a very erratic episode
well,
for me.
Is that a thing?
Is that what's happening?
He is in talks to, now they haven't said what role, but he is in talks to join Matt Reeves' Batman film.
Okay.
No one else is in talks to do anything with that movie.
Nor should they be. So this isn't part of the
I've already said
ill-advised
new trilogy. They're getting away from it. It's like 99.9% not Ben Affleck.
Okay.
So it's going to be Oscar Isaac, but 0.01%.
He has to carry around a picture, like a very small picture of Ben Affleck.
But it can be in the wallet. It doesn't have to be on screen.
Oh, he doesn't actually have to show people.
No.
This is what I used to look like. Now, is this still part of the ongoing DC cinematic universe?
I think this is part of their rerouting. Like, the Joker movie doesn't have shit to do with anything.
Okay.
That's not to say that maybe that new Joker movie and this
Well, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. If this was going to share a universe with Scorsese's Joker movie.
They might just start this one up and have that Joker movie and go, whoopsies,
boom,
this way.
It's Todd Phillips now, though.
It's produced by Scorsese and directed by Todd Phillips. And honestly, I mean, I could have taken or left. Is that a sentence?
Well, you said
Todd Phillips. But I can say I liked War Dogs.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Because the only news that I wrote down about the Batman stuff was that Alec Baldwin is going to be in the Joker movie as Batman's dad.
Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
Batman.
Yeah, and so interesting. I don't know. Maybe we'll get something good out of this stuff.
Yeah, hopefully.
Joaquin Phoenix is a good choice. That'll be.
Yeah.
I know he'll lean into it. But I would just stop denying us a Willem Dafoe Joker. I mean, really. Look at his fucking
face.
Can we not get that together?
Yeah.
Don't put any, put a little bit of lipstick on him, maybe.
Yeah. Just go watch that scene in Spider-Man 1 when he argues with himself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's the best scene in the movie and one of the best scenes ever in a comic book movie. And just like, yeah, that's the Joker.
Yeah.
Ugh. So many lost. Like, I love his performance in Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
So great. So funny and weird and genuinely frightening at points.
Yeah.
Great. Anyway, what are we talking about?
He was better than Dane DeHaan.
Yes, certainly was. I think so we were... what if he is? Is it Oscar Isaac's Batman?
Yeah.
I would be. I'm actually into that.
I'm into that. Yeah. He's a pretty fucking good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been pretty much digging everything.
Everything he does.
That he has done. And the first time I remember seeing him in anything was Sucker Punch. Which is a terrible movie, and his performance is very campy. But I was like, I think I like this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I hate everything about this movie.
Right.
And I should hate this guy, but there's something about what he's doing. I think he's having fun.
Right.
So, hey.
Yeah. Llewyn Davis, though. That's fun. A hell of a performance.
Like,
but then,
and after
then
that, I mean, I'm on board with
Ex Machina.
That.
That's a fucking very different and amazing performance.
Totally.
And then he's great as Poe Dameron. Like, he can pretty much handle the tone of anything,
yeah,
thrown his way so far, and he can definitely be broody.
Yeah,
broody.
They redoing the Cosby Show. they call him Broody Huxtable.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah. I don't know, that'd be interesting. It's an inspired choice, anyway. They'd be really going for it then.
Yeah,
I like him better than Affleck.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm surprised we got as many Affleck performances of Batman as we did. Like, it seemed from the start kind of like there was some hope when some of the photos came out and stuff, but the movies weren't
and
good,
he wasn't
so. He wasn't the he didn't ruin the movies
that really worked in some of the Batman Loves Superman. I don't know, he had moments where I was like, maybe no.
Yeah, the movies needed to be better.
A lot of things need to be better.
Yeah, like top to bottom. I actually tried to rewatch Justice League again because I really want to like it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, you can get through it.
That is the best you can say about that movie. Because I did not give a fuck about anything else happening.
But I don't think it's better than Batman Loves Superman. Because Batman Loves Superman had higher highs, although it had devastating lows, but it did have moments of stuff that I was like, well, that's kind of cool. I liked that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in Justice League like
I'm
that.
Waiting for the sugary
Justice
centers.
League doesn't quite bottom out as low as...
I was waiting for the scene in Justice League where he goes, wait a minute, what's your dad's name?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the only comic book thing I wrote down, the Alec Baldwin stuff.
Yeah.
I did watch the trailer for Suspiria.
Oh, I saw that trailer too.
I
with
have
my
not seen
eyes.
That trailer.
Yeah, I watched that. It's from the director of Call Me by Your Name, starring Tilda Swinton and Tilda Swinton? Question mark.
What? How does it look?
I'm 100% on board.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
It looks beautiful.
I really am on board.
Really.
Yeah.
Like he took the right influences from the right places.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard this guy talk, the director, and I'm like, oh my God, don't like you as a person. but man, I feel like he's got the right tone. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. It has, I see a lot of people being like, oh, it doesn't have the color or whatever. And I'm totally on the train of like, good.
Yeah,
don't
because
do that.
Because he's not trying to make what's his movie? An Argento movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks like that he's taken the sort of color and he's decided to mute it, but then lean into like textures because it has a lot of like that kind of like film grain, but also like everything in the dance scenes there's a lot of sort of like there's a dance scenes where they're all kind of like covered with these like stringy hanging bits, and then there's a lot of just like from the way the world looks to the way that the costumes are designed, it looks more of a textural movie than a like neon bright. And I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah. He's definitely drawing a lot from 70s integrity horror.
Yeah, and like which, even Black Swan or that kind of like, yeah.
I mean, there's going to be those comparisons, yeah. Obviously, but good Lord, yeah, oh, I think it looks really cool. Exciting. However, yeah. I don't think it looks as good as maybe one of the best trailers I've ever seen, the trailer for the new Jeremy Saulnier movie,
Hold the Duck. Good.
Did you see that trailer?
No.
Yeah,
hold the
really
what?
Good.
Duck?
Hold my duck. It's called Hold My Duck.
Yeah,
I'm going to shoot this guy.
It's a super wacky comedy. Yeah.
Hold my, what?
Hold the Dark.
Hold the Dark. Oh, I did hear about this.
Yeah.
It's based on a novel, mm-hmm. And the screenplay is written by
the novelist?
Macon Blair.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And directed by Jeremy Saulnier, you know, longtime collaborator Jeremy Saulnier. It's about, it stars Jeffrey Wright, which yes, let's get an amazing movie that stars Jeffrey Wright. He plays a writer, I think a novelist, but a writer who is contracted by a family to go out to the wilderness to find this family's son or children. I can't remember exactly who they believe were taken away by wolves.
Yeah.
And then you find out
that it might not be wolves.
That it could just be a whole crazy mess of what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks great. I, honestly, like, the trailer didn't even need to do anything because I'm just like, oh, Saulnier, okay, next movie.
Yeah.
I don't even need to see a single frame I'm in because I love Green Room and I love Blue Ruin. So
there's I feel like the day he makes a movie that I don't absolutely love is the day I go, Huh.
There's the bad one. Yeah, it looks good. It looks,
even Murder Party is fucking adorable.
Yeah, it looks really grim and thrilling and dark and amazing.
Yeah, so good.
And it's a Netflix pick.
Yeah, so it's like I think September 29th or something.
Shit, it should be up soon.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
So excited.
On the horizon.
Nice. Start that.
Hold the Dark.
Halloween viewing or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Are you guys feeling the Halloween already?
Yeah, Athena and I were just talking about, like, is it too early to start?
No. Once the pumpkin is on the shelf and in latte form, I'm in. I'm
is that happening?
Oh, yeah. Pumpkin lattes,
it's
pumpkin.
So hot.
It's already.
It's so hot.
Yeah.
I don't want one of those.
Pumpkin spices is on the shelves. I'm
and then when it's cold, I don't want one of those.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I liked the first one I had. I was like, this is delightful. But then there's a grease that it leaves in your mouth. And an aftertaste.
I'm more on board for the pumpkin cream cheese muffins that they have at both Starbucks and Tim Hortons.
I'll tell you.
Starbucks one is fucking incredible.
Oh.
I don't know anything about that, but it sounds terrible. Although I do love a pumpkin pie.
It's a pumpkin
pie-tasting
muffin.
I feel like a pumpkin pie is a very polarizing pie.
Oh, no. It's amazing.
Everyone likes pumpkin pie.
If you don't
like
pumpkin pie, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
None of us left.
Yeah.
Because we all love pumpkin.
You know why?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because
really it's good. So good. Yeah. Whipped cream?
Because
hell
it's so good. That's exactly right, Dan. Yep.
Yeah, Halloween.
All right.
I don't think it's too early.
We took care of pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Take that right off the table.
Yeah.
I started thinking about other pies.
Yeah.
I was about to get into pie conversation.
Pie corner.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I love a pumpkin pie, but my favorite pie?
Yep.
And
all
now,
right, here
in mind,
we go.
I am a big Warrant fan. Cherry pie.
Yeah.
I like cherry pie. My favorite pie.
How do you guys feel about rhubarb? Because I'm not a rhubarb fan.
Oh, rhubarb can take a fucking hike. As
thank
far as
God.
I like
the
rhubarb.
Right
it's
I don't hate it,
sweetened
but I just...
stuff, but rhubarb is better when it's mixed with something else.
Yeah.
Like rhubarb.
You got to sugar the fuck out.
Yeah, and rhubarb mixed with like strawberry, that's a good pie.
But I'm always just like, what's
see,
this other
like
thing I don't want in here?
Yeah, no, I don't want either of those things in a pie. I'm selective with my strawberry.
Yeah.
And that's not something about me that you guys maybe didn't know.
Do you guys, here's my last question about pies. are you on board for the classic apple or are you somebody who's like, boring pick?
Give me a fucking, a well-done apple pie?
Yeah.
Every time, baby.
Okay.
Put a slice of cheddar cheese on that son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You got yourself a pie, man.
Yeah, because I was at a cottage recently and there was a bunch of different types of pies and then there was an apple one there and I knew these were all going to be really high quality from the place they purchased it from. So I was like, you know what? I got to go apple. And some people were like, that's a bit of a plain pick. There's like bumbleberry, brambleberry, or like there's all these different berries and raspberry and strawberry rhubarb. And I was like, I got to go slice one. baseline apple pie.
Yeah. Given the choice between apple and cherry, I would have a cherry.
Okay.
But then if there's a key lime there, I'm very troubled.
Oh, man.
Oh, key lime. A Forget pecan? About it. Why don't you go fuck yourself? A pecan pie is where it's at.
I love it.
I get very antagonistic about pie.
Yeah. How did we get on pies?
I don't know. Pumpkin. Anyway, Jeremy Saulnier made it very violent.
Yeah.
And pumpkin pie is delicious.
Yeah, Halloween, on the horizon.
Yeah, Halloween's coming.
And I am happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. The only other thing I wrote down from news was that Roseanne will be killed off on the ABC's The Conner spinoff.
Yeah.
And
the only way I'm going to be all right with it, I just don't think they need to do this.
Yeah, I'm game for it, though.
Yeah, I'll watch.
The only way I'm on board is if she is killed off on the show. That's the first episode.
Yeah. No, I just love the cast.
Just Jackie freaks out and just chokes her out.
Yeah.
Just chokes her to death.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Die, you racist.
And it's tied into the real life things where she tweeted that.
She tweeted something out.
Yeah. So what have you guys been watching?
TV shows, movies.
TV shows and movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's funny. I've been watching some of those too.
I'm going to be real quick on this, but Casey's already brought it up. Castle Rock.
Yes, is a show. With you.
Okay.
So I'm about I watched some too.
I'm about four episodes in now.
I'm about two.
And I love it. I think it's great.
I think it's very good.
Yeah.
Two episodes, not like a crazy amount of anything has happened yet.
But I'm very interested. Yeah. That's the thing. That's what I love about it, because now it doesn't feel like it's overly trying. Like, you remember the movie Dreamcatcher?
Oh, Jesus.
Where you're like, oh, God, they're really leaning into the Stephen King-iness of it all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like this movie retains a sense of Stephen King-ness, or the show, I mean, while still kind of doing its own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's a nice like combination of like tales. The thing that struck me most about the first episode, which I was, when the first episode ended, I was like kind of running on a high of like, holy shit, I love this.
Yeah.
And now that I'm four episodes in, there's been times where my interest has come and gone, but I'm still very much engaged.
I like it in the same way that I love Breaking Bad, where it's a completely different thing, but I don't expect too much to happen because I like the world that they're building a lot.
Yeah.
Did you get? Oh, there's a part.
I won't have gotten to it. So I wanted to say, like, it strikes a really good balance of, you know, things being complicated and characters interacting with pasts and stuff. It strikes a good balance of like that stuff being just complicated enough to be interesting, but not so complicated that you're constantly being like, well, who is that?
Yeah.
Because I just came off the show Picnic at Hanging Rock, which I liked fine, but was constantly like turning to Emma being like, why is that dramatic? Who are they? Why are they doing this? Like, because I was only paying so much attention, I was just like, I don't get any of this.
Yeah.
So this show is just like a nice, like, I like the first episode, I just thought was a nice sort of like layered, like, oh, that's happening. Oh, over there, this is happening. So I thought it was a good balance of like the way that they're telling these sort of different character stories and how they're coming to a point. I found very organic and just enough to keep me coming back for more.
Yeah, I keep going with that. I like it. I like the Stephen King-ian of it. They have the tone down. It feels...
There are a couple of things I'll talk about. So, spoiler alert. Actually, this isn't a spoiler because her name is on IMDb.
Yeah.
But you know Jane Levy
in
the show. Do you know what her name is in the show? Jackie Torrance.
Yeah, Jack Torrance.
Mm, yeah.
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 Oh, does she get... Well, she gets to a... Well...
They name her right away, and I was like, what are they doing here?
Yeah. And there's a couple things like that. Like where... they don't. I can't remember what's her name, Melanie Linsky. I can't remember what her character's name is. They make a couple of references around her, sort of lead you towards like, oh, there's like some Firestarter aspects.
Yeah,
to her.
Like you have some. Yeah. I even when it leans really heavily into the like, hey, King fans, wink, wink. I'm still like, there's one scene I think in the second episode. Or maybe the third, where somebody finds like a folder of news clippings.
Yeah.
And like literally every news clipping like, is like a just, different it's, king. It's I was like, one of these has to not be a book.
And there's a dog that wanders around. That
it's like dog loose, and then it's like kids find body, and then it's like this thrift store owner had some weird things happen. I was like, okay.
And also, the sheriff in Needful Things' name is
Alan Pangborn.
Yeah, that's right, Alan Pangborn, and that's
He's also the Dark Half.
Yeah,
I like it.
I'm so fucking charmed by it. I love it.
I'm excited to get further
into it. I love
the guy
who plays Henry Deaver. I think he's
he's really
totally
good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
My brother was saying he's like on the seventh episode or whatever the most recent one is. He was like, I got emotional watching it. So I'm like, okay, like it's gonna keep getting better. Hopefully,
yeah.
Castle Rock, check it out. Castle what do you guys Rock. Think out there on the internet? Let us know.
Yeah, friends, come on.
What else?
Come on, girl.
Have y'all been watching?
I've been watching more of that Final Space.
Yeah? Oh. I didn't try it because I was stuck on Disenchantment.
Oh, I watched about 10 minutes of that and was like, I'm out of here.
Watched about 15 and I was like, I hate this.
Oh, I watched almost all of it and I was like, this is great.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's
so
great.
I should keep going with it?
I like it a lot.
Oh. Fair enough. I was not interested even a little bit. Maybe it was the mood. I don't know. And maybe I'm just supered into a different cartoon right now.
So, yeah.
And it's a different tone.
Thing.
Oh, so you're like, sorry, go ahead.
So like on a quick wrap up a bow on Disenchantment, my thing is like, I went in with no expectations. I was like, as long as this is as good as the like not great late career Futurama, I'm fine. And I was pleasantly surprised that I liked the characters and had a lot of laughs with what I've seen. Mm. I'm a few episodes from the end, but I was like, this is enough for me. It's funny and I like them. So
I'll try again.
But Final Space, I need to get
on.
Yeah,
man, I'm just really into it.
Yeah.
I really like it. And
yeah, because you were
like,
kind of on the fence about
it
first.
Well, it starts like, it does, and it's still, there's a little peppering throughout of like maybe a joke. Well, yeah, I'm being I'm being too critical because I it's really doing its own thing, and it's coming by all of its choices really honestly. And I do laugh out loud, and the most recent episode I watched made me emotional.
Nice.
There's a honesty about what it's trying to do or an integrity or something. They have a clear vision anyway, and I'm super into it. I like the story a lot. I really like the characters. It's a really comforting watch, and the episodes are quick. They're fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And occasionally it's super funny.
Yeah, I got to watch it.
Super funny. I think it's just great. Just fucking delightful.
Yeah.
It's a special, unique show. Good for it.
And it's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Space.
Yeah. I want to watch it because I keep
you should, watch more than one episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not super into the first episode.
Yeah. I generally I feel like almost every show is not good right away.
Yeah. 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 Like I find there's just too much stuff.
Yeah.
I've been watching a show.
Mm-hmm.
I actually finished the second season of that I think is my favorite comedy of like the past 15-20 years. I watched season 2 of Detroiters.
Oh, Detroiters is so good.
It's so good to the point where I watch it and it's really on its face. It's a show about two dipshits.
Yeah.
But it's so wonderfully endearing and their friendship is so sweet and so, honest. And the performances, like it's basically created by Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson, and the relationship, like the show lives and dies by their relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun premise. It's just basically two guys who work for kind of a shitty ad agency who do local ads. It's so wonderful. And then the last episode. Something happens on the last episode that is one of the funniest concepts I have ever seen anywhere.
Yeah.
I was so blown away and I was dying.
Yeah, I've seen the first season. I don't think I've seen any of the second season, but I was really into it when I watched the first season.
It's a show that I like. It's rare that a comedy that I will connect.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say emotionally because we've been saying emotionally a lot on this episode, but I have this deep connection with it and I love it so much in this way where I'm like, this show is so sweet.
And it also
and
just
so
has
nice.
Really good gags. I remember there were some gags in the first few episodes where I was just like, as its own micro piece of comedy, that is fucking brilliant.
And there's so much of that in season 2. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. It is absolutely my favorite comedy show that I've seen in again, probably.
I'll have to watch more. Yeah, season two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was season two recent? Like it just ended?
Quite
okay.
Recent, yeah.
Cool. What did I watch? Well, I got two things. I don't know what I'm going to use for my winner's choice, but I will talk briefly about a movie I watched today that I revisited that I hadn't seen since it came out in 1996, and that is The Ghost and the Darkness, starring Val Kilmer
and Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
It's got problems.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really entertaining.
I saw that movie in theaters, and I remember just thinking it was so cool and so awesome. And so revisiting it, I was worried because it got, you know, trashed when it came out. And I was thinking, like, I remember liking it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it has problems. Val Kilmer has a terrible accent that comes and goes that never bothers me, so I don't care. And Michael Douglas shows up and is just sort of like, hey, you're not really doing anything other than being your slimy guy, but now you're fighting a lion. And I'm like, I'm on board for that.
Yes, and then, totally.
And the director is the same director as Predator 2, so it like looks good. And
yeah, no, and the lions, when they come and attack, is great. Terrifying.
Yeah,
it's great.
Really,
and it's a true story that's a completely fucking crazy story.
Yeah. It's like not...
It's about two lions that are dicks.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and so it's a total weekend movie. It's not going to blow you away, but I had a good time with it.
Excuse me, friend.
Have you seen Ghost in the Darkness?
Hey, Ghost.
Baby, go see mommy, okay?
Mommy.
Can you close the door, Beatrice? Baby, close the door. Thank you, Angel. It's very high. You can do it. Good
see ya.
Girl.
Still going. There you go.
Nice.
Yeah, Ghost in the Darkness.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's a weekend movie. Check it out.
Nice.
You'll see some good.
I'll watch that one again. It's a nice like Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
flick.
Totally. The attack scenes all work. They're very tense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Val Kilmer has a funny, poorly executed accent, so you can laugh at that.
Sure.
Yeah. What else?
I saw something, but just before I we had a child enter into the room for a second, which just made me think of something funny. Maybe you've had something like this happen, but...
A child enter the
room? Yeah, I have this thing going on. Now, it's happened more than once, so I guess it's a thing. When we go over to the grandparents' place, Zoe will go upstairs, and when I go to the top of the stairs, she says, Daddy, stay there. And then she goes into the spare room that has a phone that isn't plugged in, and she, like, airs her grievances with me on the phone.
What?
Yeah, she was like mad at me. She was mad because we didn't let her watch Paw Patrol or whatever. And she went in there and I could hear her talking. I came in. She's like, just stay out there. And then she was done. She came out. I'm like, are you mad at Daddy? And she was like, yes. I'm like, why? She said, I told you on the phone.
Oh,
and then she was
awesome.
Like, cool. Like, then it was done. And she was, you know, she squashed that beef.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
And then it happened again, like a week later. She was up there. She's like, you stay there at the stairs. And she went in and yelled at the phone for a bit. Something about me not chasing her. I guess I was like doing something
well,
else and couldn't chase her.
Did you chase her?
I might not have chased her that
you
night.
Should've.
Exactly.
Anyway. I love that got it out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I told you on the phone.
Yeah.
She's really good at dealing with her problems.
Yeah. Get it out into the phone.
Now I want to try.
She
and, like,
was her. You know what? The best thing about it is her imaginary friend is a therapist.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah, it was all right. So I saw a movie called Upgrade.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, with that. What's his name? From the OC.
Logan
Marshall Green.
Marshall Green.
He looks like Tom Hardy dressed up as James LeGros for Halloween. And it's by, what's his name there?
From Lee
Whannell.
Who
is the writer of Saw and co-star of Saw and co-writer of many things, writer of many things and director of a few.
And this is a Blumhouse joint.
Yeah, written and directed by him.
Yeah.
And it's about a guy who, it kind of has a RoboCop start where a guy, but it's his family that gets killed. And or his wife anyway, no children, just so everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to know.
Yep.
And he becomes paralyzed, but then he's offered a upgrade of this thing attached to his spine that will then like help him walk again, no longer quadriplegic. Anyway, this movie's great.
Yeah, I heard good things.
I had a blast with this movie.
I've heard nothing but good things.
And he is excellent in it.
Yeah. Nice.
Logan Marshall Green. He's really good because he does have to do some really particular physical acting for a lot of the movie. Where his head is a little bit independent of his body, or vice versa, right? Because the body is.
From what I've heard about this movie is that the cool thing about it is that he's sort of the reluctant robot.
Oh yeah, 100%. I don't want to spoil too much. It's really worth a watch, and it's directed really well.
Nice.
Lee Whannell did a fine job directing this movie, particularly some of the action sequences. I will tell you, I was a little disappointed with this movie because the first true action sequence that happens in it, the first fight, is one of the best things I've seen in a movie in ages.
Nice.
And I thought the movie was going to be one thing because I liked this scene so much, but it kind of isn't that thing. And I was like, oh, what a lost opportunity. That was about to be the best movie I've ever seen. Instead, it's just merely a very good one.
Okay.
But that first action fight that happens is superb.
Nice.
The choreography is amazing. Logan Marshall Green is 150% in it. He is unbelievable. And the direction of the scene is spectacular.
Wow.
And yeah, but then I thought I was getting something else out of this movie based on that scene. And then it was like, oh, okay, that was, I see. And then I'm watching the whole movie. It works. It's fine. I get why they did what they did.
Yeah.
Anyway, I saw an opportunity for something else. But it's really worth a watch. It's a terrific action movie that's got a pretty decent story, some fine dialogue, and good acting across the board.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I've
been definitely check
to,
it
yeah.
out. It's a good time. Uh-huh. It's not gonna change the game or anything like that, but just between for entertaining action movies.
Yeah,
just the fact that we got like a trashy sci-fi, like a violent trashy sci-fi, 80s style, you know, killing robot guy.
Worth your time.
Sweet upgrade.
Upgrade.
Yeah. Got to check it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Casey, anything else?
Yes. My wife and I got to slip away to the theater because she wanted to see a movie, and we so rarely get to see movies that she wants to see. So we saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, I want to see that.
Doing very well.
And getting really good reviews.
You know why? Because there are a lot of Asians in the world who like to be represented in film.
Yeah.
And this movie does that, and it's really, really sweet.
Yeah.
Like, this movie does not... it's based on a book, and you can really feel that. It's one of those things. You know how when a movie's based on a book and it'll have a storyline, it'll have a bit of a storyline that you can feel is a little bit more fleshed out in the book, but it needs that storyline to balance everything, so they just do a bit of that. And it does that well. It's like, here's a bit of this storyline just to sort of like balance out sort of a well-rounded sense of what relationships can be like and how some relationships are affected. It does enough of that. But other than that, it doesn't really like defy the genre of romantic comedy. And in a lot of ways, it really sticks quite closely to some of the tropes. Like, there's a point where it's like, well, we got to introduce a bunch of people. So, well, let me tell you a little bit about my family. First of all, there's this crazy guy.
Yeah.
There's this lady and she's a real bitch. You know, but I didn't mind any of it because the movie was like, hey, we're going to do this, and that this is what we are.
Yeah.
And it came by it completely honestly. It's really, really sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah, I want to see it.
And I don't know who Awkwafina is. I don't know why she's named after water, but she's really wonderful in this movie. Like, she's like the absolute... de facto comic relief in this movie.
MVP. Yeah. Much better than Dasani.
Yeah.
Dasani is terrible in this movie. And Evian, come on. And President's Choice. But yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, I heard a trailer for this movie on the radio, which was sort of fun. I was like, oh, they still do this.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know what it was for. And I'm like, this sounds charming.
It is. It's yeah. quite charming. And it's headed up by... Now, the guy in it, I'm like, I do not know why this guy was chosen, because he is just dead weight. So this movie is basically... rests on the shoulders of Constance Wu,
yeah.
who I have just absolutely nothing but time for. She's absolutely yeah. fucking wonderful. Mm. Love her on Fresh Off the Boat, and she's so great in this. Really sweet and really honest performance. But yeah, just a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's made so much money. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I want to see it. Crazy Rich Asians in theaters. Yeah.
Neat.
And it is a movie that occasionally I get mixed up with another movie. I want to call it Crazy Stupid Asians, but that's not what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? I'm going to save my other potential for my roulette-y. What do you guys have? Anything else?
I watched Ready Player One.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what'd you think of that? I watched that too.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
No, it wasn't very good. That's why.
I thought it was a movie that happened. Like, I didn't dislike it.
No, there was, I was like on and while I'm watching it, I was just like, this is fine.
Yeah.
And then it was over and I was like, okay.
I'm fine with that part.
I was almost more surprised that there was as much in it that I didn't hate, that I was like, because some of it I really hated, and then when something that I didn't hate happened, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, some nice fun things are happening. Like, they do that whole race, and then they come back to it again shortly after, and you see underneath the race, and I was like, hey, that's kind of neat. I like being underneath this race for a couple minutes.
That's fine.
Because I didn't like that race where it's just a bunch of shit being thrown at you, and then I was like, oh, a fun little twist on it.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's the scene that was kind of like a very divisive scene later in the movie where they go kind of into a property. And I loved that.
Mm. Oh,
but a lot of people hated it.
Yeah. I very much could have hated it, but I was like, all right.
I didn't care because it just felt too.
And also, if somebody's going to rip off Kubrick, I guess it can be.
For me, it was
Spielberg,
just more like, sure. Even though
I feel like if anybody they were
a little connected,
if Kubrick was going to be all right with it.
But I didn't feel any of the Spielberg warmness in this.
It's crazy. The entire time I kept going, this is Steven Spielberg?
Yeah. Like, and I don't know. Yeah, there's just no touch to it.
Yeah.
I just felt like at least.
But I didn't feel that from like Minority Report either. I haven't felt like.
I don't know. There's a bit of excitement there.
Or
no, the post was flat, but I could feel it like his way of building a world. Like, it was there in. What was the one? Not
BFG?
The one before the post.
Spies Like Us. Bridge of Spies.
War
of
Spies. I wasn't nuts about that movie, but it had it was likable, and I felt the world build, you know?
Yeah.
And it Minority Report did have some Spielberg schmaltz to
it. Yeah, Minority Report doesn't feel like Spielberg even a little bit, but it's fucking tight. It has a great action.
Yeah, and it's super well-constructed and entertaining.
Yeah, and it has really memorable scenes. Things that really stand out.
Yeah, I just felt like the Shining stuff in Ready Player One, even if what it was doing in the footage wasn't like amazing or even super special, it was just like, now there's some zombies coming at the screen.
Yeah.
I was like, at least you're saying, here's a thing, a property we all know, something we all love. And instead of that, me stopping there, at least it's going to be like, now I'm going to play in the sandbox. It's not like, look at the sandbox. It has the toys you like.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was like, at least you went in and said, like, let's see what we could do in here, floating around the rooms and going into the footage. I was like, at least that's like you're engaging with what you are presenting me with.
Yeah.
Not just like, oh, we're running down the road and Pac-Man came by.
Yeah.
So this movie was better than Pixels.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I it's just a miracle that it even occurred to me that I saw it, because I don't.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Totally. Trying to think what else, if I had anything else. I don't think so. I have two, but I don't know which one I want to use for Film Roulette.
I'll tell you something real quick.
Okay.
I did see something amazing.
Okay.
I went and saw David Byrne.
Oh nice.
Cool.
I saw him at the Sony Center.
Is that your first time seeing David Byrne?
Yeah. And 50% of his set list was Talking Heads.
Sweet.
Wow.
And it was played like Talking Heads.
Nice.
Not jazzed up or no, he didn't Hall & Oates it. and I think he wanted to make an effort, like stop making sense.
Yeah.
Because this was a production.
Oh, wow.
And I have never seen a concert like this.
Amazing.
Ever. It's just a completely bare stage, gray floors, gray curtains that make like a box.
Okay.
And then the band is out there and they're all in matching gray suits, but there's no equipment.
How big are those suits?
They weren't very big, but they were similar. They really threw back. It might have been intentional. I don't know. There's no equipment on stage, though. There's about 12 people on stage, the entire band. They're all strapped. They're wearing their instruments. Like, so there's like six guys who are the drum kit, right? They're all of the percussion.
What?
And
then, that's cool.
And there's just like, because the curtain separates all over the place, so like a guitar will just come out of the wall that he grabs while he's going by and just shreds a solo, and it goes back into the wall over there. And there was choreography and themes to every song, to how the lighting worked and how that's shadows
unreal.
Worked and what pattern they did whatever in. It was one of the best sounding concerts I've ever heard in my life.
Where was it?
Sony Center.
Oh, yeah.
But their harmonies, because he nails all of the Talking Heads harmonies, like so good. I mean, they did, and they did, it wasn't like, let's do Psycho Killer and all the big.
Yeah.
It was Born Under Punches.
Nice.
It was The Great Curve. It was E-Zimbra.
They
Blind.
Did E-Zimbra.
Yeah. They did Blind, which is nuts.
They did Blind?
Yeah, they crushed it. It was so good. It was visually one of the most astounding things I've ever seen. And when, without question, one of the best sounding concerts.
Amazing.
I've ever seen. It was here two nights in a row. I wish I had seen it on the first night because I immediately would have bought tickets for the next night to watch it again because it was that good. If it's while he's on this tour, if he comes through wherever you are listening, go.
Oh, man.
Holy
That
Fuck,
sounds
was
so
it amazing.
Good.
I would so in a fucking heartbeat go and see David Byrne performing Talking Heads songs.
Oh man. And because then the his solo stuff that he was doing, I didn't know all the tracks, but because it was so visual and engaging, it didn't matter that like, oh, this isn't
that.
A Talking Heads song. It was just still watching this performance art happening.
Plus I feel like the older he got, the more world music-y he got, which can be.
Was a pure no. That's a bit of a misconception. That's he and Paul Simon did it at the same time,
right?
And then they both backed away from it again,
right?
Like his stuff has been a little bit more quirky and back to.
But I feel like
strange
everything he's
pop.
Done on his own has at least been somewhat something that you could at least appreciate live.
Oh
if,
yes.
If you don't appreciate the music itself, you could just at least appreciate the spectacle of it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so I think he has the visual thing really tied to it.
Yeah.
Because like songs that I'd heard off of one of the like more recent albums that I was kind of like, it's okay. Yeah. When I saw it live with the visual sort of representation of like when he's acting out the song, I'm like, oh, great.
He's so good at that.
He's so good at that.
He's so good at like embodying the song.
I certainly hope a concert film comes out of this.
That would be cool.
Somewhere after this tour is done, because it was as much a achievement as the Stop Making Sense production was.
Wow.
I
didn't know that I think I had seen like, oh, David Byrne's coming, but I don't know if I, is there like a name to the tour or, I didn't know it was going to be like that kind of a production.
American.
Yeah, I just didn't know it was going to be that kind of a
American Pie presents.
Yeah.
David Byrne,
The Naked Mile with David Byrne.
Yeah.
Sorry. Speaking of that, actually reminds me very much in that vein of something I went and saw. I saw a live production of The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Oh yeah, I saw the photos.
He is very hungry.
I was surprised at how hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, is he going to be as hungry as he is in the
we'll
book? Because
yeah.
you never know if they're going to have that kind of budget.
And I'm like, four strawberries. No way, he's still hungry. But he's still hungry.
He's still hungry. Where did he get a lollipop? Anyway, it was probably roughly very similar production.
Yeah, ones. Yeah.
And then David Byrne was in it.
Yeah. He was swinging by all
he
the
played
way through.
One of the strawberries.
Anything else before Film Roulette?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then let's go to Film Roulette. Film Roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. Or, like this week, they get to choose in a winner's choice week and the low roller has to see whatever we've picked as the loser film. This week it was Show Dogs, the live action / CGI sometimes dogs or talking dogs anyway. And and then we talk about those movies. We get a punishment album from the low roller and then we roll for movies next week. Now, we already know, I think, that Greg and I didn't overlap. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to try and figure out what I'm going to talk about first?
Do you want me to go first? You can think about what you're going to talk about.
Are you really tortured over this?
Well, my question in my mind is between whether there's a possibility that you guys also watched one of them or didn't.
I see.
Did any of you guys watch the Puppet Master movie?
No.
No.
Okay. Because I could have talked about that, but
I
was kind of hoping
that wasn't favorable.
I will pivot away from negativity then and let you do yours and then do my
and then
my
you pick. Do you.
Okay.
Because that movie fucking sucks, by the way.
And
fuck Puppet Master, the littlest right.
I went out to the theater and saw Black Klansman.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I've been hearing divisive things about this.
And I went for it because we were trying to decide if we're going to watch that or Eighth Grade.
Yeah.
But I kept on looking at the trailer for Black Klansman, and it had this.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Message with the weird off-kilter humor. And I'm like, man, that really just makes me think of Do the Right Thing. And like, I liked how well that he did that with that movie. Yeah. And so Athena and I rewatched Do the Right Thing like hours before going to Black Klansman. Let me tell you, Do the Right Thing is still the fucking best. And you see what all the expectation on this filmmaker, like, because it's just devastating. He's such a student of film because it plays like West Side Story without a love story, like, but it looks like old Hollywood.
And
how all the characters move in and out and the use of Public Enemy and the radio station, how it drops in and fucking, oh man, and how great Rosie Perez is. I'm like, I miss seeing her in movies.
I miss Rosie Perez. Yeah,
man, it's so good. It's so rich. It's still so vibrant and so important. So if you haven't ever seen it or it's been a while, rewatch Do the Right Thing. So that was fresh, and we went and saw Black Klansman. And I fucking loved it.
Nice. Yeah.
It was fantastic. Maybe his best since then. I don't know. I'd have to rewatch everything else.
But yeah.
It nails everything that he is good at. And it is super funny. And the performances across the board are
super. Yeah, it's got a really good cast.
Topher Grace, too. It's really funny. It's a really interesting story. And it does absolutely gut you at the end.
Yeah.
And it accomplishes something that a lot of, when you watch movies that are about a historical thing, they take place in the past and it's about racism. There's generally, you can kind of watch it with this kind of air of, look how far we go with this.
Yeah,
look at the past, this almost fictional world of crazy shit.
You can't anymore.
Yeah, and this movie, well, that's the thing. And this movie does a fucking brilliant job of not making, of making really aware of how not fictional this is and how real it still is. And not only have we not solved any of this, it could possibly be worse. So I think it's a monumentally important film to watch right now. It's entertaining as everything you could want. It handles it does Spike Lee doing his thing that he does only that he can do, and doing it well.
Yeah.
It's well edited. It's a quick, brisk pace. Even though it's a 2-hour movie, it moves the whole time. The story is interesting. All of the characters are over the top, but in a realistic way. It just he nails his style. And I think it's an essential movie. And I think at this point, it has to be. I don't know if there's a. I know we'll get award season to come, yeah. But I would say this is definitely front runner in my mind.
Nice.
For a Best Picture nomination.
Wow,
it's excellent. It's just excellent, and it's again important.
Yeah, nice. I want to see it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I really like. I'm somebody who's been really spotty with my enjoyment of Spike Lee movies.
Because his filmography is very spotty,
super spotty. Yeah. And I feel like you started on a real high because, like, I think She's Got to Have It.
Oh, that's
really
so good.
Really, really well made tiny movie.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
It's great. And then, you know, Do the Right Thing. I never really loved Do the Right Thing, and Jungle Fever was where I was like, oh, okay. Like,
I think Do the Right Thing was almost too big. Like, yeah. I think he was like then jumping to a different class of film too aggressively.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, Jungle Fever's like got problems, and like I really like Malcolm X, but it's too long,
yeah,
and it has problems, but it's of a very high quality,
yeah,
and but Mo Better Blues is fucking amazing.
I've never seen Mo Better
Blues. My God, it's really good. Then He Got Game is amazing. But then there's, you know, like Crooklyn is like okay, Clockers is like okay.
Yeah, I've never seen Clockers.
No, okay.
And that 23rd Hour or whatever it's called, or a third
25th Hour.
Yeah, I've seen that.
48,
yeah.
47.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It has moments.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think I even got all the way through because I was like, yeah. I ran out of steam with that.
That's sure. One that almost particularly feels like. Like that's a movie that I'm always like, oh yeah, that was Spike Lee.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
it
does deal with stuff that he would deal with in movies, but sure. It almost feels like less of a like.
Well, it was that time period where he kind of, I think, needed to reroute his.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he kind of spent technique. A little bit of time just kind of doing Hollywood. Like he did that Clive Owen.
Inside Man.
Inside Man.
Yeah. I heard that. I keep seeing that that was actually really good.
Yeah,
and I remember
hearing that it's better than you think.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
The trailers, when it came out, I was like,
well,
this looks terrible.
Yeah. No,
I thought it looked really
good. It's slyly directed.
Yeah.
Again, he's a student of film. Like he really gets it.
Yeah.
And knows how to do some stuff with it. And this is on a different. I think this is him not trying to, like, I'm going to reshape what Spike Lee is. Like, this is just, like, he knows what he's doing. He's telling the kind of story that he is, that he's best at telling.
Yeah.
And maybe he's the guy to tell it, you know? Like,
yeah.
I looked at this as, like, yes, this was the potential of Do the Right Thing.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, Black Klansman.
Yeah, you should watch Do the Right Thing again.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying this to a friend at work the other day. Like, I feel like I want to go through and do another Spike Lee kind of retrospective. Mm-hmm. Like
I want to do that, yeah.
Retrospective.
Yeah, yeah. But definitely check out Mo Better Blues. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Yeah. It's worthwhile. See it in theaters, too. It's a nice looking movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's really well shot.
I want to see it.
It's worth the big screen.
Black Klansman, did you see it? Let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so my movie, I mentioned I wanted to pivot away from negativity because of how much I really did not like the Puppet Master movie.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I did see in theaters recently, which is funny because almost immediately after I saw it in theaters, it was released like not in theaters. So you can rent this now, I believe, on Google Play. But I saw Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Oh!
The documentary by Morgan Neville about Fred Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Rogers, for me, was never the guy on TV. Like, I watched Fred Rogers, but I was never, like...
More of a Mr. Dress-Up guy.
Yeah, I was. I was very into Mr. Dress-Up and Fred Penner, but I did see... Like, he was in my viewing rotation. Yeah,
it was a massive part of my
TV. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like it was more a part of other people than mine, but I still really wanted to see it because of how much I loved... what it was. And so I feel like because of that, I loved this movie maybe a little bit more than some people, because I did see some reviews being like, well, like a lot of this isn't new information. And I was like, well, it was new to me because I only have a cursory like representation of his life. Like, but it's basically as a documentary, it's fine. It's doesn't break the mold. It does the things that you expect a documentary to do. It does a little bit of a recap of his life and then a bit of a sort of recap of the show and how it started and where it went and when he stopped. There's like little animated interludes that are really well done, but it's the kind of thing where you're like, structurally and technically, this is just the same as any other documentary you would see about somebody.
Right.
But because it's about him and because it is such a warm, well executed and wonderful movie about a wonderful person, it's so important to see. And I feel like almost hopping off like Black Klansman being important for a certain reason, I think this is also really important to see because it is such a movie that instills like a hope and a positivity, and you want the world to be better, and why can't we just all love each other? Like, it leaves you on that kind of a, like, you're wiping a tear, but you're leaving being like, I should be a better person. Like, when I left theater, I was like, I should be a better person. We should just love each other. And like, everyone should just be positive. And it's like, it's so good. And it doesn't dive too deep into like elements of him. You know, there was always like some questions about like his sexuality and stuff. And it doesn't really, they don't dive into that. They do
good,
a bit
who
of stuff.
Gives a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, anything to do with anything.
And they
it
do.
Literally has nothing to do with anything.
And they do touch on one of the co-stars of the show who was gay. And there was a bit of like, he wasn't allowed to come out because how it would reflect on the show. And there's a bit of a like, oh, but like he was so progressive on the show in these ways. But then in reality, there was one thing that was a little bit too far at the time. Mm. So it doesn't necessarily shy away from like the complicated issues of him as a man, but right. It also mostly focuses on just how wonderful he is. I hadn't seen the footage of him like saving PBS by going on reading the song lyrics and stuff, and so that to me, I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
That part, like, I've just seen that footage before,
yeah,
like, a bunch of times,
and I'd never seen that.
Just brings a tear to my eye
totally
time.
and just wonderful, all the footage of him with children, the way that he looks at the children and engages with them on their level, and is just like so beautiful. And honestly, one of the things that brought me closest to crying was the footage of him with Amy the gorilla. Have you seen that footage?
No.
Holy shit, it's just like, so I don't know why that was all of a sudden at the end of the movie they're showing that footage, and I was like, that was the closest I came to cry, because here he is with this animal and they're like having this engaging conversation, the animal's like sign languaging that like, Amy is so happy that you came to visit me, and like climbing in his arms for hugs, and I was just like, oh my god. Yeah, it's a really solid movie, and it just leaves you on a really kind of positive note, especially with like the way the world is and all the hate that's out there, and yeah, it just makes you want to be a better person. And make the world a better place in whatever way that you can. So even though it's just like a good doc, like you can watch it on Netflix and you don't have to see it in theaters, but it was nice to see it in theaters because there was a kind of a lot of sort of like shared moments of like, but yeah, you watch it with like your family. There was a family with kids in front of us that were probably a little bit too young to be seeing this kind of a documentary where it wasn't all just like, here's
happy
the story
sunshine,
of the happy sunshine.
Yeah.
But I felt like they were getting like a really cool experience by seeing this movie about a wonderful man. And like, yeah, like you could watch it with your family and there, you know, have a discussion about it and stuff. If you have like kids of a certain age. Yeah. I really liked it. I thought
I'm going to watch it and discuss it with Walt as soon as I can.
Yeah. It's good. It's really, really good. Yeah. Made me happy and sad, but in a sad, happy way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So check out Won't You Be My Neighbor. I think you'll like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of movies that make you sad and happy at the same time,
I watched
Show Dogs.
Show Dogs.
It made me sad that I had to watch it and happy when it was over.
Yeah. This is starring Will Arnett, right?
This is starring an odd cast of people. Will Arnett is the... well, he's not titular because he's not a show dog. He's the cop who has to team up with Ludacris
as a dog.
Oh, God.
Yes. And they have to solve the capture of a tiny panda bear.
Okay.
Or like some people are keeping a little panda bear, a little CGI panda bear in captivity. And
wonderful.
They've got to figure out why by going undercover at a dog show.
Okay.
So the dogs talk? To the people?
Yeah.
Well, the dogs do talk to
the people.
Is this
a world where the dogs have jobs?
It's one of those...
Are there other dogs with jobs?
Like
cab drivers and grocery stores?
No, unfortunately.
What the fuck?
It's just a place where dogs talk, and it's it does that thing where it's like... They don't really, like, they don't... They talk to the humans, and the humans are like, "Oh, what am I talking to a dog? I must be losing my mind." But like, they don't actually have a conversation. Oh. It's just the dog's like, "Hey, why don't you go fuck yourself?" And then the man's like, "Huh, I better go fuck myself." You know, like,
what
did he tell him to do that or not?
Didn't they hold that for the whole movie?
Yet they're like, we'll put this. If they don't actually talk to the dogs, why would you trust the dog understands he's undercover? What?
Yeah.
Well, because this movie is...
Why would you... Yep.
Okay. It's a simple explanation for the reality of this movie.
Okay.
It was made by fucking morons.
Okay.
This movie is insulting. Like, it's a zero-sum game where it tries to do kind of a world-building thing, but it doesn't follow any rules or anything like that. And it's just dull and flat.
Right.
And man, Ludacris is bad on screen. Like when he's like in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember Crash, which aside from him is exceptional. but yeah, as a voice actor, he is so flat and just not interesting at all. And like, I love Kate Micucci. I think she's great. She's so awful in this movie.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
She's so... her and Anders Holm and Frizzy Hair Workaholic.
Yeah.
Blake Anderson.
Yeah. They play these pigeons that fly around. But it's quite amazing. It's got all these characters and all of these places where there could be jokes. But like where there could be a joke, somebody just goes, "Hey, here comes another dog again." It is so devoid of jokes, like it's intentional.
Wow.
And it's a real bummer, and Will Arnett just seems really tired.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And it's I'm pretty sure my retina's just detached at a point because it's a movie that you're watching and it's happening in front of you and you're just like, I can't pay attention to this because nothing's happening. Like, it's so by the numbers. It's like, and here comes RuPaul as a dog that you assume RuPaul would
in
be.
It? Yeah, as a voice.
And you're like, oh, and here comes, it's not Julio Iglesias. What's his name? Something Iglesias.
Enrique.
No. He's a big fat comedian.
Jeff.
Jeff Iglesias. and he's just like, okay, well, he's just going to do
Gabriel Iglesias.
Right. He's just going to do his high energy kind of bull crap. And it's just an absolute nothing. Just nothing happens. It's hard to explain how nothing this movie is. Like, it'll be like, okay, well, now they have to... He's going to be... Because he's a Rottweiler. Ludacris. Now he's going to be in the Rottweiler competition, and he wins the Rottweiler competition. Next. Just not... Like, nothing feeds into anything else. It's just these scenes that bump up against each other while this half-assed plot is going on. Yeah.
Oh,
this movie sucked my butt.
Yep.
Oh, man. Show Dogs.
Wicked.
Terrible.
Yeah.
From the director of Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Did we ever do that as a punishment film?
Can't imagine. I feel like you saw it.
I don't think I did.
I might be thinking of True Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Oh, man. Great movie. I don't think I ever saw Beverly Hills Chihuahua. The movie poster that had to have the phonetic Chihuahua.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know if anyone will know how to say it. All right. Speaking of... punishments.
Yep.
We get to talk about an album I gave you guys called the Duran Duran Tribute Album, released on Mojo Records in 1997, featuring 15 tracks, and I want to go through it track by track. So I gave you guys this because I like doing terrible tribute albums, and because this was on Mojo Records around the time of the ska... third wave explosion, where any old band that had any kind of little upstroke guitar rhythm for at least a second in their song could get a record deal.
Yeah, what a garbage time. It was so frustrating because I was such a huge ska freak.
Of actual ska.
Well, yeah. Well, a revival period and over the original, you know, Desmond Dekker era, but I was so into specials and Selector and Madness and English Beat.
English Beat, that shit. So
I just love. Still do. And then when this all started happening, I'm like, yay! Because it was like mid or end of high school. I'm like, more ska! I know it's something's wrong, but I'm just going to grit through it for a little while.
I remember you going through that.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was like, oh, ska's getting big. This is kind of cool. And I remember you just slowly getting beaten down by it. Because you'd be like, oh, Suicide Machines. This is cool, I guess. And then, for a moment, and then wait. I remember you owned a Goldfinger record.
No, I didn't. No Goldfinger.
there was one of those records that you owned.
No, I didn't have Goldfinger. I had a Real Big Fish EP.
Oh, maybe that's
Gross.
What it was.
Yeah, and it was very bad.
Yeah.
I just bought it because it was in the ska section. Yep. It was horrible.
Oh, man.
Unpleasant.
Well, I gave you guys the Pixies album. They had a song on there. So now we can just start ranking Real Big Fish cover songs from worst to worstest.
Yeah. So now when you listen to this on Spotify, it just says various artists.
Yeah, it doesn't give you the names.
Not at all. I listened to it in the car, and I'm like, there's the Deftones, and then this is not various artists. It all sounded like one long band to me. I couldn't differentiate anything.
Oh, see, that's listening to it because I actually, it's not on Google Play.
So you had to go song by song.
I had to kind of go searching, so I wonder if there's anything that I missed. But one thing that I was really amazed by was like, this really, like when all these kinds of bands are doing songs that you recognize,
yeah.
So you can kind of put that away. Like I can take as read that I know this melody.
Yeah. Mm.
You really get a fine sense of the different ways that these bands suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this band sucks in a little grittier way.
Yeah.
Or this band, like Real Big Fish. The Real Big Fish thing, I think, was probably the most egregious.
Well, I just realized it was them now because I was listening. And Hungry Like the Wolf was the one where I was like audibly going like, ugh!
Yeah, because it's Jesus, gross. Because it's loungy.
And what was with the fucking the rambling at the beginning? The stage banter or something.
I hate it.
I couldn't wait for you guys to hear that because I was like, this is going to piss them off.
Why is that there?
I don't know.
Why are they like, oh, that's gold.
Because they think it's funny.
I was like, if I didn't hate this song, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah.
Luckily, I hated the song, shit. Too.
So the first song was Rio by Goldfinger.
And it sucks.
Yeah. Sounds about...
Yeah, but that sucks. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I expected this to suck in this way.
But it just kept going. And then they're doing the Ronnie James Dio thing they swung in there. Yeah. They're flipping around some other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was so exhausted when it was over because it shifted around to a couple of things. I'm like, oh no.
You needed
just the beginning.
14 more songs.
Hold Back the Rain. That sucked.
I will say
Planet Earth. That sucked.
Those are, so Bucko 9 and Homegrown and Wisecrack, for somebody who was in this scene, are bands that I'm like, no one cares about. Like, I'm sure there's Bucko 9 fans out there, but I'm like, no one cares about Bucko 9. They're so forgettable. So are Homegrown. Terrible.
Yeah.
And so are River Phoenix and fucking,
River Phoenix.
Wisecrack.
What?
One of the bands is named River Phoenix.
They're called River Phoenix?
When they recorded that song, then they changed their name to Phoenix TX. They're garbage.
Yes,
they're terrible.
Fuck them. And the Ordinary World cover is terrible.
Terrible.
Oh, gob. That's, Okay, well.
Oh, so Deftones.
They are. A View to a Kill, I didn't like, but I didn't hate like everything else on here. Because
and it's
I was
from
like,
a period of gob being like, I'm pretty down with early gob.
What's
so
that
I'm
go jump
like,
in a lake song?
Yeah.
That's fine.
I wanna jump in the lake.
And that's a bit more like just around this time where they probably went even poppier. I feel like this was around their first CD where they're a bit more fun.
Band?
A little bit more punky.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it was fine because I'm like, well, that's basically like
you just
more like a...
Did a really fast punk version
of
that song.
And it was short.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Totally.
Everything else pissed me off. Less Than Jake. Awful. And there's two versions of Girls on Film.
One by Wesley Willis Fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was that like?
I didn't find that.
Okay.
Oh. It's not on my listing here when I look at it where I'm reading where the artists were.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was... It wasn't good.
Yeah.
Because that's a bit of... I was like, why is this song on here twice? Because like, as a Duran Duran fan, I find Girls on Film to be a lesser song.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yes, it is a lesser song. Although it did give birth to one of my favorite things that Paul F. Tompkins does.
Yeah. I think
he has this thing where he has this thing in his brain where he can't, if he hears something that, like with the same syllables as Girls on Film, he has to go 2 minutes later.
I feel like it was a big single, right, off that
Girls
first
on
one.
Film?
Yeah, oh, so like
huge,
I feel
it's
like
a huge, monumental hit, and with its banned video, there's
but
a
it's
lot of,
weird that
a lot around it.
That, like, you know, Rio and Hungry Like a Wolf are also ginormous, so...
Girls on Film is definitely one of the biggest,
yeah,
I would say, but I don't think it's bigger than...
Yeah.
The Reflex. Or Hungry Like the Wolf, necessarily. Yeah, this sucked nuts. I hated this.
But the Deftones?
Yeah.
Yeah, Deftones cover is really good.
That was actually another thing that was that sounded like I thought it was going to sound.
Yeah.
It's not surprising.
No.
But, and that's, yeah, that is arguably my favorite Duran Duran song. And I'm not the world's hugest Duran Duran fan.
Yeah.
But that is definitely my favorite song. I was like... Yeah. I know what this song sounds like. Yeah. I know what this band sounds like. And I have a feeling that the marriage is going to sound like this.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Chino's
like,
going to sing the shit out of it because that's the right pitch for him. Totally. Yeah. You know.
And, but it's also the right ambiance for something that is Deftones. So,
yeah. Really nice. At the very least, out of this scenario, while you guys were listening to this album, I made a playlist of exactly these songs, but by Duran Duran,
and had a
great time.
Yeah, those are top tracks.
It was a wonderful greatest hits playlist.
Yeah.
So what's coming our way, Casey?
Well, this is one of those, I don't really know what this sounds like, and I'm curious because I feel like there's some sort of integrity around this thing, but I don't really understand it kind of thing. And I saw this performer on Saturday Night Live, and I was like, I don't know if I like what you're doing, but everybody seems to. So Cardi B has an album out that is called Invasion of Privacy. Mm-hmm. It's a new album. And she's got guests on it like Chance the Rapper and SZA. And these are people that I hear in sort of integrity.
This has gotten very good reviews.
Yeah, album. Yeah. People seem to
To it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
People
a
seem
little
to be like pretty like again they speak very highly of her. And my first reaction to her was like, I don't really get this. So
yeah,
tell
okay
me what's
then.
Up.
Yeah, sweet. Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy.
Oh, now who's the rapper?
All right, rolling. So rolling. I believe we decided it would be a.
Winner's choice. Because apparently the movies forgot it was still summer.
Yeah.
I'm sweating right now. Means summer.
I also forgot that I was supposed to provide the dice. So
I got to die here.
Oh, no. Oh, real one or your fucking app?
Not my app.
Yeah, I don't trust that
I don't
app.
Either. Witchcraft.
I got the old...
Oh,
the old nine-sided,
nice,
ten-sided die.
Really
reliable. So, winner's choice. See whatever you want. There's some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't seen Eighth Grade. Lots of other stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm really excited to talk about the loser.
Right. Well, or at least the poster.
Yeah. So, 2018, we are seeing a brand new film available by a director who was known on IMDb for being the transportation department on Stephen King's Dead Zone.
Oh.
Although also assistant director on
and
Dead Ringers.
And he can drive a car.
Did do some assistant directing on a Cronenberg film. There's other films here in the directorial category. But we are going to watch something we have no idea about. We just saw the poster and picked it. Dracula in Love.
Yeah.
The tagline is sex, comma, drugs, comma, rock and roll, .. and Dracula, period. Then you die.
Exclamation point. That's a sentence. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, and Dracula.
I kind of wish...
Then you die!
If I was going to switch anything around with this, I would switch only two things. The period with the exclamation point. So it would be sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and Dracula! Then you die. I think that would be better.
There's a review on IMDb that says, nice cameras, that's it, 2 out of 10.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we have no idea.
One of the actors in it has a photo.
Oh,
just
boy.
One. Just one.
Yeah. Wow, only one.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, okay. Those aren't cheap.
Yeah.
Photos? Oh, no.
No, you got to pay for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Roll it.
All right. We're rolling. I'm rolling.
You're rolling.
Right on the ground.
Yeah. Can't miss.
That's a 4.
Sweet, sweet 4.
And got a 4.
Sweet, sweet 4.
Greg
got a 4.
Got
Greg
a 5.
Got a 5. Casey got a friggin'. Seven?
Seven, looks like.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's seven, Dan.
Seven. Dan.
Yeah.
Hey,
don't,
Dan.
Hey, Dan, don't you fall in love with Dracula.
Don't you fall in love with him. Don't you fall in love with that upside down Dracula, Dan.
And don't you, and then you die. Yeah.
He's gonna sleep upside down.
In your heart.
Oh, my God.
In the cave that is your
Here's
heart.
Here's your dice. Here's
your Wonderful. Dice. So next week we will be talking about Dracula in Love. And
with Dan.
Dracula.
And winner's choice film.
Oh, good. They're both here.
Yeah, now we got some kids.
Why aren't you asleep?
What's up?
What are you going to say if you're here in the room?
When you jump in my puddle, you must wear your boots.
When you jump in a puddle, you must wear your boots.
That's right. So true.
Yeah. That is true.
And there was like a little move at the end, like it was a
like
a rap.
Just to show you what jumping in a puddle is like. Yeah. Okay, bye, Angel.
Bye.
Take your brother with you, please. All right.
Well, all right, as always, good. We will see you next Wednesday, Internet.
Yes.
We'll see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet. And yeah. When you jump in a puddle,
please wear your boots.
Wear your boots.
And you then must you die. Wear your boots. And then you die.
And then you die.
And you fall in love with your boots.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.